Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 327, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, thy word to me remember, and thou hast made me hope in thee. This my comfort in affliction, and that thy word hath quickened me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 327.
Congregation, the portion of God's word which we wish to read this morning, you can find recorded in Matthew chapter 27, beginning by verse 32 to and including 49. Matthew 27, beginning by verse 32 to 49. But first we will read the holy commandments of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 27, beginning by verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear the cross, his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head the accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple, and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest mocking him, with scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. And if he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now when the sixth hour was, there was darkness. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land, unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, that this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Thus far.
We wish to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. Jan and Geneva van Hagenbos and children and family with the passing away of her father and their grandfather, Mr. Henk van der Veen of Picture Butte, at the age of 54 years. Mr. Tony Auerkirk, also in the Bethesda Care Home, who had his halo taken off in this past week and is now in quite a bit of pain. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God, we appear this morning before Thee, and we have heard what has taken place in this week that is gone by. Wilt Thou remember those that mourn in a special way? For there is a widow. She is yet young. And she now goes through this life alone. Lord, wilt Thou supply for her and all of her children? They are also among us and the grandchildren. It is a calling that comes to them. It is a calling that comes to us. For the old must die. The young can also die. And we know not our life, no, not for one moment. We are to gather in Thy house. The callings come day by day. Another calling, when Thou will give it, it will come also in this morning, in this afternoon, through Thy holy word. O Lord, we can only ask it of Thee, that Thou would sanctify and bless Thy word, and all the callings that do come unto us, that we would not, for that great eternity, have them burn upon our conscience. What has come to our ears, what we have seen with our eyes. Lord, could it please Thee then in this day to take of Thy word and to bring it with power in our hearts, that Thy Holy Spirit and may be sent from above. We can only admit, we can only confess, and that from our side it is so undeserved. But Lord, it is also so necessary. Shall it be well for time and for eternity? But it is also so necessary. Shall Thy name be glorified and honored? Oh, could it please Thee to glorify Thy grace in the midst of us and within us, that it may be experienced that sin abounds, that it may be experienced that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Wilt Thou give it to be known among us that the poor might have hope, that those that are destitute may be given eyes to behold Thee and all that Thou hast accomplished, even as we have heard it out of thy word already in this morning hour. When thou hadst tasted the vinegar and the gall, thou wouldst not drink thereof. Thou wouldst endure the suffering for thy church, even to its last bitter end. O Lord, we cannot, in our finite and poor minds, comprehend what thou hast suffered for thy church. But it is a suffering when we are not found and included and incorporated into thee, a suffering which we will have to suffer for a never-ending eternity. Oh, we ask it of thee then, Lord. Could it please thee from heaven in this day to sanctify thy word, to bring this little portion into the heart of many in our midst. Yea, leave not a hoof behind as we are traveling to our end. Our life that is so short, and we have such a little time that we may find thee. Oh, give us an earnestness then about that one thing that is needful, that does not lie in any one of us by nature, that needs to also be revived in the heart of thy church time and time again. For we can read of thy people that they are those that do wander from thee time and again, lying upon beds of slothfulness, having in themselves no desire. They are turning, as it were, upon their beds as a door that does turn upon its hinges. O Lord, thou art able to revive thy work in the midst of the years, in wrath to remember mercy, and to come and to knock once again upon the door of their heart, and to call unto them, "Arise up, my love, my dove, my fair one, and come away." Look upon us in all our needs known unto thee. Also him that is in the Bethesda care home, thou knowest all his needs for the body. Thou hast made it thus far well. Wilt thou give him a little freedom from the pain, but also a healing in his body, that he may be able once again to go to his own place, and may it be to come up amongst us once more. Wilt thou bless him also with blessings from thy heavenly store in thy house, from thy house in this day, and be with all the afflicted ones and all those that mourn. Wilt thou supply as man is not able, and wilt thou give in the ways of affliction, that the needs may be made known unto thee also in the secret places. Be also with the children which have special needs, for they are also amongst us, several of them even in our own flock. They must see the physicians from time to time, and thou knowest all the needs. Lord, help them in the days of their youth, and all do give unto them that patience and that submission, and may it be the sanctification of these ways also for their own souls. Strengthen those parents. Remember all of us together for the needs of time and for eternity. Increase the number of thy truly sent servants. Wilt thou send them forth with power from above, that they may be truly converted by thee, called by thee, thrust forth into thy vineyard, and then thou wilt never forsake the work of thine own hands. Wilt thou supply for all those that labor in thy vineyard, in the preaching, in the reading, in all thy house, in all thy services, in this thy holy day? Wilt thou give thy word a free course amongst the hearts of men, that the meek may eat and may be satisfied, that new ones, O Lord, may be born in Zion, that thy kingdom may come, that it may be built up, that the 144,000 may be completed, that thou mayest bring them in, that thou mayest glorify thy own name. Oh, that each and every one of us may also be included. Oh, give us in this day a heartfelt need, a heartfelt desire, that we would not remain forever on the outside of a closed door, that we would be knocking upon that great day. Open unto us. Open unto us. Oh, that we would hear, I have never known you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Oh, Lord, when this day that door yet is and remains open. Oh, when there is, when thou art still calling unto us to turn ye from your evil ways. Why would ye die? Oh, when thou dost present unto us out of thy holy word that blood that has been shed upon that cursed tree, and the freeness of thy mercy and of thy grace to the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, that our hearts then may be broken under it, that our eyes may be given to behold our iniquity, that our hearts may be given to weep because of our sin, that we may turn from all our transgressions, and that our heart may also be given a true faith to believe in thee and in thine only begotten Son. Oh, do reveal him to those who cannot see the way, and wilt thou open thy word unto them. Oh, then the light shall shine in, Lord. Then they shall see and they shall believe. And then they shall be able by thy grace to appropriate that work also unto themselves. Then they shall receive rest and peace in believing. And then thy name shall receive all the honor and the glory. Oh, we ask it of thee, not because we are worthy, but wilt thou take reasons out of thyself and do it for the sake of thy great name. Help us, Lord, to bring thy word in this morning hour. And then thou givest us a little strength, and we may acknowledge thee therefore. Oh, that thou may increase it more and more, and that we may go before our flock. Help us this morning also to listen. Oh, take away the buyers and the sellers, and be thou in our midst as one that serveth undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 189, stanzas 1 through 4. Make haste, O God, to save, to help me, Lord, make haste. Ashamed, confounded, they shall be who would my life lay waste. The consistory would like to announce the following. Tunis, Herman van Hagenbos, and Maria Johanna Askam hope to be united in holy matrimony on Friday, April 5th. Any lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by March 26th. This is the second announcement. The extra collection today is for the treasured meditations. The Hosanna Choir performance has been rescheduled for April the 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 189, all stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel of Matthew, as was read to you, the 27th chapter, and thereof the 43rd verse, Matthew 27, verse 43. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. So far, the words of our text. Mockery at the cross. First, the object of this mockery, or children, we would say, the person who is being mocked. Who is that person? We read in our text, the Son of God. Second, the substance of that mockery, or what are they mocking him about? What do we read? He trusted in God. Let him deliver him. Third, the time of this mockery. What do we read? Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. Thus, mockery at the cross, first the object, second the substance, third the time of this mockery. And they that passed by reviled him, we read. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him, thus reviling, mocking. What is that? To mock. To mock, that is to trifle with something, that is to play, as it were, with something. Thus we treat it with contempt. We treat it with ridicule. Often we imitate, we mimic when we mock. Sometimes that is done in an open way, as we see here. Sometimes that is also done in a very subtle way. Children, young people, maybe you also know of this. Sometimes this may happen even at school. No one else knows what is going on, but it is only by a look. It is only by a little gesture, and then you can see it, that they are mocking this one, that one, maybe yourself. Oh, do you ever mock? Mocking another person that has been the cause of much harm, that has done so much damage, that leaves behind it scars. You know what a scar is, children, right? When you get a wound, and then that wound that may heal, but then always, that never goes away, then there is a scar left over. And when you are 90 years old, then you can still see that scar. And so it is often happening with things like mockery. Then yes, that wound is healing over. But for the life of a person, there is often a scar that is left behind. Oh, let us never mock with one another. But it is even more serious when what we read in the Bible, that it is possible to mock with very serious things. Because we read in the Bible about mocking the poor, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. The Lord, he is the protector of the poor, and he will not endure their mocking. Whoso mocketh, we read, at his father, and whoso mocketh his mother, children, young people, be careful. Because what do we read in the Word of God? That the ravens of the valley shall pick out the eyes that mock at their father and at their mother, and the young eagles they shall eat them. We read about the mocking also of office bearers, a serious thing. Then we can read how the children, they have mocked the prophet of the Lord, and how that the Lord, he has come against those children for their destruction. What do we read in our text? He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Thus, who are they mocking? They are mocking the Son of God. How is it possible? Thus, they are mocking God. Mocking God. We would say, how is it possible that the Lord did not send fire from heaven in one moment to consume them? But congregation, how commonplace is this today? Or we can see that sometimes. And when we see from time to time a little bit of the movies that people are watching in this world, oh, then we can see how that Satan, he is mocking at God. When we see the lightning that is flashing on those pictures, that it is mocking the majesty of the Lord. When we see the mockery with disease, when we see the mockery with accidents, oh, young people, are you also involved in watching these things? Oh, remember that you have a baptized forehead. And the Lord will not forever endure such mockery. But how is it now with us? Because it is possible that also in another way we are mocking. It is possible in another way that we are playing, as it were, that we are trifling, congregation, with holy things. And that we trifle with the very word of God. That we trifle with the law of God. That is what Adam did when he trifled with the command of the Lord. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when we read that for 120 years Noah is preaching unto that first world, and he is building before them the ark, that they may also be brought in, oh, then they are mocking him. What do we read in God's word? How Peter says that in the last days there shall come scoffers. They will mock. They will scoff. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. They will say, where is God now? Where is the fulfillment of his promise? When Lot went to his sons-in-law, then he says, up and get you out of this city, because the Lord is going to destroy this place. Then Lot was unto them as one that mocked. Oh, then they were laughing, as it were, at his father in at their father-in-law. Then we can mock with the commandments of the Lord. When they are coming unto us, we can mock with his law, we can mock with his gospel. Trifle. As that King, the Lord Jesus, said, he is sending forth his servants, calling to that wedding. And they are trifling. The one has this in this world, the other has that in this world, and they have no desire to come. Congregation, do we trifle? Do we mock with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Do we mock with his long-suffering? Do we mock with his commandments? Do we mock with his gifts? Do we mock with his patience? Do we mock with his callings? Do we mock with his invitations that are coming unto us? What does the Lord say? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Christ himself prophesied of this mocking. He said that to his disciples before it ever happened. He said that the Son of Man was going to be delivered to the chief priests, and they were going to deliver him to the Gentiles, and they were going to mock him. He knew it, and he agreed to it. He agreed to it. That he would suffer this for his church. Did it begin at the cross? No. We can read it in his ministry. When he has taught the people, then we can read that the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, they derided him for his teachings. And then we can read how that he was brought to that hall of Caiaphas. What have they done? They blindfolded him. They blindfolded him. Why, children? Well, they put something over his eyes. He could not see it. Then they began to hit him. And one would hit him, and then another would hit him. And then they said, who hit you? Who hit you? What were they doing? They were mocking. They were mocking. With what? Do you think the Lord Jesus knew who hit them? Who hit him? Yes, he knew. He knew. They were mocking with his omniscience because he said that he was that Son of God. Then they brought him to Herod. He mocks, puts on him a beautiful robe. Then they are mocking him. They bring him back again to that hall of Caiaphas. And you know what happens when one mocks. Then another begins to mock, and they all become bold, and all the servants also, they become bold, and they all get together, and they make a plan, and they put on him a purple robe, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, they put a reed in his hand, and they begin to trifle, they begin to mock, and they begin actually to get down on their knees. They say, Hail, King of the Jews. Oh, they are mocking. They are mocking. They had mocked before with his prophetical office, that he knew everything. Now they begin also to mock with his kingly office. And what does he say? What does he say? What do you read in God's word? That the Lord Jesus says to all that mocking, nothing. Nothing. He lets them mock. Cannot fathom it. The long suffering, the patience of God and of Christ. And that mocking continues and that increases. Even unto the cross. What do they mock him there for? We see that in our second thought. The substance of this mocking. As chief prophet and teacher, we know that the Lord Jesus, he has taught the people. He spake congregation. We read in God's word, like never man spake. Then the people, they have gladly heard in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it was not like the teaching of the scribes and of the Pharisees. But all his teachings, they became the object of the scorn and the mockery of the scribes and the Pharisees. They objected to what the Lord Jesus had said in his ministry. They objected. But he would not take it back. And why would he not take it back? He could not take it back. That he was the Son of God. Why could he not take that back? Because it was the truth. And if he would take that back, he would be a liar just like unto them. And now what do? They mock him for it. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Thou that destroyest the temple in 3 days, congregation. That was false. That was a falsification of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or they give to the words of Christ a meaning that he has never intended. Did they all understand those words? No. They did not understand those words. And he has put those words somewhat under cover. That was a judgment unto them. And yet, there were those who knew that something was not right, because we read in John that neither did their witness agree together about those words. Thou that destroyest the temple in 3 days. And now what? They do not even realize that they are busy fulfilling this prophecy. They are busy destroying the temple of his body. And he will raise it up again in 3 days. What is it? Oh, it is that sacrifice. It is again that mocking of that priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do they say to him? They say, if thou be the Son of God. Do you recognize those words? We can read those words in another place. Where do we read them? Well, that was at the beginning of his ministry. Then who was it? It was the devil. It was the devil. Do you hear that these persons are the instruments of the devil? That was already in the beginning, in that temptation of Christ in the wilderness, where he has come to him and he has himself begin to mock in the temptation. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. Oh, now they say it again. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, and we will believe thee. What do they mock with? They mock with his divinity. If thou be the Son of God, then you must now show it unto us. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He saved others. Oh, he saved others. Congregation, these are his enemies. And what do they testify? He saved others. They have seen it. They have seen it with their own eyes. What he was able to do for others. They have seen the blind receive their sight. They have seen the lame walk. They have seen the lepers cleansed. They have seen the dead raised with their own eyes. Oh, what an accusation. It is an accusation by which they themselves are condemned. He saved others. He saved others, and yet they would not believe in him. Now they require something more. They say, come down now from the cross, and we will believe thee. Well, they did not believe him before. Why then would they believe him now? Finally, our text. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. He trusted in God. Congregation, what a confession. Can that be said of us too? He trusted in God. That was evident to them. Is it evident also to this world? By our speech, by our works, that we have trusted in God? Trust, what is that? That is one of the aspects of faith, knowledge, assent, and trust. He trusted in God. Trust that is actually the central aspect of faith that is sometimes interchanged, that is sometimes used for faith itself. Trust. That is that a man leans upon, that he has confidence in, that he relies upon. That is to trust. Oh, what a blessed thing it is. What we read here, he trusted in God. What a blessed thing. What a privilege to be given to trust in God for our temporal needs, for our eternal needs. Oh, to be able, that is the longing of that church. Oh, the disciples, they said, increase our faith. Why? Because to be able to trust, that gives rest, that gives peace in our soul. Did not David trust in God when he went forward against the giant with only boys and girls, a sling and a stone? Did he trust in his little stones? No. Oh, just read what he has spoken there. Did not Gideon trust in God? When all the Midianites were as grasshoppers in the valley, and he goes forth with but 300 men, is that not one of the greatest privileges that a man may receive in this world? And that he may be given the gift of faith, that he may be able to rely, that he may be able to trust in God? Is that trust in God ever put to shame? Was it put to shame in Noah? Was it put to shame in Abraham, in Isaac, in Jacob? Was it put to shame in the Apostle Paul? Where do we read of that? In the Word of God. That to trust in God has been put to shame. And now the enemies, they say that of Christ. Oh, what a blessed accusation against the Lord Jesus Christ. Do they say that of you? to? Do they say that also of me? But congregation, we cannot preach to you about Christ's trust in God. And why not? Because we do not know what it is. Because we cannot understand what that is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is God. Because in his divine nature, then he had no need of trust or reliance that was only within himself, as God himself. Trust that is the central act of faith, but faith that is necessary where? For us here. But it shall not be necessary for God's church in eternity, because there they shall see. There it shall be an eternal beholding. Therefore, that faith that shall not be necessary there. How is that now for the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, we cannot understand it as he himself is divine. However, we know that his divine nature on his time here that was hidden behind the veil of his human nature. Can we comprehend it? We cannot. And yet, all that trust in God that was manifest to everyone that was around him while he was here upon the earth, it was also evident to the chief priests and to the scribes and to the elders. They themselves knew it. They themselves have seen it. It was evident in his miracles. The Lord Jesus has rebuked them also for this. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know that the Father is in me and I in him. Oh, there was no man that could deny it. There was a man, he was born blind. And the Lord Jesus has cured him of his blindness. And then he has spoken also to the Pharisees, to the scribes. He says, why herein is a marvelous thing, that you don't know from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. A marvelous thing. He says, that is so very, very obvious. And the Pharisees, they could say nothing about it. They could only cast him out of the temple because they did not want to be taught by such a mean and low man as this. But now they mock him. Now they mock also with this, his trust in God. When are they mocking? We want to see that after we sing. 47, 4, 6, and 7. My words a cause for scorn they make, the lip they curl, and the head they shake. And mocking bid me trust the Lord, till he salvation shall afford. 4, 6, and 7 of Psalter 47. our third thought, that is the time of this mockery. And what is that time? What do we read in our text? That is now. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. When is now? That is when Christ is hanging upon the cross. Now. It was in the hour and in the power of darkness. When was it? It was when that conspiracy had reached its height. When not a dog dared to move his tongue against the Pharisees and the scribes. When they have managed to get every man to come against the Lord Jesus Christ, high and low, the magistrates and also the servants, the Jews and also the Gentiles, when all that passed by, they are reviling him. When was it? When even the thieves also, we read, they are casting the shame in his teeth. When all his disciples, they have forsaken him and fled. Then, in that hour, then they are bringing back to him all his words. They are bringing back to him all his works. They are bringing back to him his trust in God, and they are mocking with it. And they are saying, let him trust in God now. Now we will see. Now it is the trial. Now it is the test. And we will see if all the words that he has said are true, and we will see if his trust in God that is genuine, when? Oh, it is the hour of his misery that they are reviling, that they are mocking. It did not touch the least of their affections. It is the epitome of hardness. It is the epitome of evil when we can mock with a person who is in the extreme of their misery. And especially, when is it? It is, congregation, in the day of trouble. It is in that day that in a special way the sin of the church of God that is laying heavy upon the Lord Jesus Christ in a felt way, that he must in this day suffer all the consequences of the sin of his church. Oh, what was it? Then there was pain in his body. There was pain in his flesh. Then we can read that there was suffering in his soul. Oh, then his very friends, they have fled from him. Do they still love him? Oh, certainly they love him. But it must be that there are also so many questions in the minds of even his friends, because they do not understand what is taking place. And then in their mind also is going over and over all the things that have happened in the past, and they cannot put it together for what is happening now. And then it seems even that the Father is against him. Why? Congregation, they are mocking. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. And there is no answer. There is no answer from the Lord. No, then he has to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It seems like heaven and earth that is against him. No man cares for his soul. That is the hour. That is the hour that they are mocking. But congregation, what seems to be is not always so. We read that in God's word, children. The wisest man, Solomon, he has spoken. He says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, there is a way that also seemeth so wrong, but the end thereof are the ways of life. What is written above that cross? We have read it together. A superscription containing the accusation against the criminal. What was his accusation? Could not say anything except, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. It is mocking. It is mocking. And now this King of the Jews, not only the King of the Jews, but the King of kings, has conquered. He has conquered. Do you know what he has conquered? He has conquered all that mocking. He has conquered all that derision. How has he conquered it? By his silence. He conquered it by his silence. He conquered it by saying nothing. He conquered it by remaining, congregation, upon the cross, choosing the honor of God. Not what seemed in the moment to be the honor of God, because he could have come down from the cross and shown everyone that he indeed was the Son of God. No. But what was truly to the honor of God is what he has chosen. And that is to be silent and to remain where he was. And later it was going to become evident that what he had spoken was the truth. Oh, it seemed like he could not deliver himself. But the truth is that he would not deliver himself because he would deliver his church. And our congregation, that church that is following in the footsteps, we heard it a little bit last time, they have to walk behind him, bearing that cross. And now they have to go in those same steps that he has trod and bear that cross after him. Thus, what is the life of that people? Or how often does Satan not mock with that afflicted and poor church of God? What do they say? He trusted in God. O congregation, trust in God. What a blessed thing. May you ever do that? That is the most blessed thing that a man may be given to do in this world. Children, you know Daniel. He was going to be slain because the magicians and the sorcerers, they could not tell the dream of the king. And Daniel went to that king and he said, O king, he said, give me time. Give me time and I will interpret your dream. How did he dare? Well, boys and girls, he trusted in God. He trusted in God. But then he had to go back to his three friends. Maybe they were surprised at what he said. Maybe they said, did you say that? That you are going to tell the king the interpretation of his dream? We don't have that. Or maybe also the devil. Maybe also the devil has come in that night and has said to Daniel, now you trusted in God, but you still don't have it. And Daniel, what did you say? What do we read here? For he said, I am the Son of God, people of the Lord. Has the devil ever come to you and said to you, what did you say? What did you say? Did you say that? In the hour of faith, when love burned, did you say that to your friends? Did you say that to God's people? What you said to your family, what you said to your children, did the devil ever bring it back unto you? Or when does he often bring it back in the life of God's people? Is it not in that day that sin lies hard upon you? Does not the devil mock then with your former trust in God? With what you have said? Is it not in that day that you experience what Paul says, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. When that mountain of sin, all that is so high that you cannot see that grace abounds greater than sin, is it not in that day that the devil is coming with what you have trusted, with what you have said? Is it not in the day of trial? Is it not in the day of affliction? Is it not in the day of a fall? Is it not in the day when even your friends, well, yes, they love you, but they cannot understand you anymore? Or that the devil, he is saying he trusted, you trusted in God. Oh, let God deliver you now if he will have you. Is it not in that day when the Lord's face is so hidden behind our wall that Satan is coming to say, you trusted in God. Oh, let him deliver you now if he will have you. Is it not in that day that the promise yet remains unfulfilled, but the time that is going on and coming closer and closer? You trusted in God. Let him deliver you now if he will have you. Oh, that it seems that heaven and earth is against you. But what seems so, that is not always so. Is not this congregation the way of that church? Do we not often sing, when faith sank low, I hardly knew that thou art Israel's keeper true? Will it go any different with that true church of God than it has gone with him that has gone before, the head of that church, who despised, who endured the cross, who despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of God? But congregation, Christ bore this mocking. For whom? He bore that mocking for his church. Did he bear it for you? Did he bear it for me? You know what we read every Sabbath day in the 12 articles? He descended into hell. When was that? You learn it, boys and girls, in the catechism, in a special way in Gethsemane and upon the cross, that there was hell that was experienced by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have there a little picture of hell, pain, excruciating pain, in the body. No easing of that pain. And what do we read? There shall be weeping and wailing. There shall be gnashing of teeth. All we see there, that all his friends, they have forsaken him. Congregation, we shall not have friends in that awful, awful place. No, there we shall be forsaken by everyone. There we read there was darkness for 3 hours. What do we read of that place? We read that it is a place of outer darkness. All we read here, that Christ, he has experienced the hiding of the face of his Father. Oh, what shall it be there? In hell. There shall be experienced nothing of the comforting communion of God, but only his wrath and his indignation. And mockery, mockery, mockery by men, by religious men, by those whom we have gone to church with our whole life, mockery also by worldly men. We may be praised in this world, means nothing. It means nothing. It can end in a moment. Mockery by the devil. What did the devil do to Christ? He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. I will give them all to you. Bow down and worship me. Now he is mocking. This is the devil, young people. Do you believe that? This is the devil. Shows you all the world. Bow down and worship me. I will give it all to you. But one day he will mock. Oh, he will mock and mock and mock. And we read something else, even worse. God himself, he says, I will laugh. I will laugh at thy calamity. And I will mock when thy fear cometh. Oh, let us not mock, congregation, at the Lord. Let us not mock with his word. Let us not trifle with his word. What do we read in God's word? David, he says, the Lord is good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon him. Do we mock with this? Do we mock with this? Oh, do we trifle with this? Oh, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us. We need to be born again. Oh, we need to be converted by thee, else we shall only mock, Lord. If it is not in an outward way, then it is in an inward way. If it is not with our words, it is with our deeds, it is with our life, so that we are no different from all that did mock at that cross, had no need for thee, saw no beauty, as saw no nothing that was desirable. Oh, convert us then. Send thine arrow into our hearts. Look on us in the rest of this day. Bring us home, each one in safety. Give us a desire and the ability to be together in this afternoon. Help him that goes before us. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 416, 6 and 7. I will say to God, my fortress, why hast thou forsaken me? Why go I about in sadness? For my foes dread tyranny. And what follows in 6 and 7 of Psalter 416. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.